September 15th, 2005, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
From Pedro Show. That was Johnny Thunders and Do You Love Me? Start off with Cosmos from Live in Seattle, John Coltrane. Birthday next week. Next Wednesday.
You were in Seattle last week, right?
Is it next Wednesday? No, it's next Friday. 23rd September. I was in Seattle Labor Day. Stooges, last gig of the summer. Next Stooges gig is November 26th and 27th in Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, bitch. Oh,
Brazil rock.
Sweet.
Righteous. Yeah, it was bumper shoot. It was the last day. It's like this 4-day festival. Not just music, it's arts and all kinds of stuff. And Mudhoney played before us. They were great. Their hometown band. And
that was really a world-class party, huh?
Yeah, it was neat. And Iggy was really intense, man. It was wild. It really was a good capper for all the touring we did. And the band played tight. I got a little lost coming back after the solo in Dirt. Well, I was following Iggy, and Ronnie wasn't there. So, oops, we both backed off. We caught on with Ron. I'm going to go visit him. He's got Ron's got a cabin up in Lake Huron. And I don't want to go too late because it gets cold up there.
Yeah, that's a chilly place.
Yeah. So but you were in a warm place. Was it warm or cold?
Both.
You got a knee brace. Did you get hurt?
Well, it's just the old, old body surfing injury that likes to come back.
Did it come from Burning Man?
No, that happened before. It's just getting older, not healing as quick.
Yeah, my knee finally, after 2 months, still pink, but that bike wreck.
Yeah, it sucks, but it was great out at Burning Man. It was It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. And the art was much better, it seemed like, this year. Because the brain was there. Pepe made this big old purple head. It was the mind. I guess it was pretty quiet inside. It was always crowded when I went. But one time there were like those throat singer dudes. And some
like Kyoto monks?
Yeah, the Kyoto monks. And some throat singers and monkey chanters. And overall, it was really, really a great year. No problems except for cops. You know, cops were the only problem. They keep getting sneakier, so everybody else got to get sneakier. They like sniffing around and trying to create problems.
Are they in uniform or they dress up like Burning Man people?
Some of them think they're like pretty sly undercover.
Mod Squad.
But they're so cornball when they talk to people that it's like obviously some kind of a kook that you don't want to deal with. So they kind of give themselves away, but they're out there with their night vision and stuff and handcuffing people for just burning and use that as excuse to check all their stuff and
wow.
Just create problems. Because it's a big revenue for them. I think the ticket's $500 or something.
Wow.
So that's a big money maker for them.
Chick-ching.
But, yeah, the art was great and everything's cool. People are great. Community's great.
Somebody was telling me that some of the Tesla people wouldn't go.
They got screwed, I think, on the art car. Or there were some philosophical differences, and I guess that always kind of happens when things get going good. People get different ideas. But I did meet some guy who's does the Tesla coil stuff, and he said that they've got a Tesla play he's working on. He's doing the special effects with the Tesla coil.
On the man?
No, it's going to be at in L.A.
No, but it's on the man Nikolai Tesla.
Yeah. It's on Tesla himself, and so that should be pretty neat because I think a lot of his toys and ideas are being fiddled with these days.
Big time. He lives on. You know, he made some of that stuff for the Frankenstein movies.
Yeah. He used to put on some shows in his
personal dinner.
Lab that must have been the wildest.
Well, he'd have dinner parties and throw fireballs down the table.
Yeah, hold light bulbs and cause earthquakes.
It was pretty intense. Somebody was telling me, too, about the guy who started Burning Man.
Larry Harvey?
He's getting kind of big-headed about it.
Well, I get he does like speaking tours and engagements, and he has been a pretty engaging speaker when I have the few times that I've seen him talk. I know that from what I hear, there's like I said, the philosophical debates with keeping the organization moving forward and having their ideals and the artists and creative people who have their artistic ideals, and they don't always.
Mesh.
They don't always mesh or gel. So he's obviously doing something right because it seems like it keeps getting bigger. This year there was a few more people than last year, so it was a little over 35,000.
So he has a lot to do with it still.
Yeah, he's very involved, very hands-on, I think. And the staff, for such a big deal, the staff isn't all that big, I don't think, 20, 30 people. But they got their own office now. Before it used to be like shared office space and stuff, but... Yeah, I think it's a pretty impressive operation. Whenever a problem arises, they address it as like a community and deal with it. So, it's handled. And as more people come, more things have to be organized. So it's a big job. There's people out there for months laying that place out.
Yeah. No opera anymore.
Not anymore. But this was the first year Pepe was back.
Yeah. And he had the brain.
Yeah, some dude tried to bogart his camp. He had hired him to be his assistant, helped him to build the thing, because he builds these massive art sculptures, huge things. And so he gets people to help him. This guy he hired registered the camp like he's doing him a favor, I guess, and he bogarted the camp, making it his camp, spotlighting his artist of the year, Pepe. You know, so Pepe didn't know anything about it. And they're playing like rave music all night. Pepe don't dig on that. I think he pulled a little commando move on their generator. I don't know. He
yanked the plugs, plug yeah. yank.
When that big land yacht crashed into his temple a few years ago, he got a whole giant desert, and they crashed into one thing that they can crash into. He went out there with his blowtorch and started cutting the thing up. He was great. I said, you know, I hope I'm like him at his age. He's in his 60s. And then I thought for a minute, I thought, damn, I wish I was like him at my age. You know, he's in great shape. He's all tan. He's got women always traveling. He's a cool dude.
Where's he based? Is he SF?
He's been in India for the past couple of years making movies, but he's in the San Francisco in the Mission District. He's got a cool little place down there.
I play there Saturday.
Oh, cool, yeah. Cool.
Tomorrow, Monterey Jazz Festival.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
And then the next day, SF. And then Sunday, Sierra Madre with Dos. Kel, me and Kira were on a track of his new record, so he's having a little party. Whoa! Isn't that tune?
Happening.
And tonight, Di Piazza's. Cool. And I was telling you earlier, Nels hurt his back, so it's going to be the first big trip for the boat.
Oh, cool.
Boat's never been on a big trip, so it's
so
going to be 400 miles.
Out and tuned up, little other personal touches for travel.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to have Nels lay out. Because in Perkins, the van they rented and stuff, he'd have to sit in a seat and his back just can't hang. So he's going to lay out flat and be able to take care of that thing because he's got gigs. He's got this farm aid thing, like I said, the night after SF, he's got to fly. And then he's got Scott Amendola band, mini tour, and something else too. Maybe another Wilco 10-day thing. But he's still going.
Wow, that's painful.
Massive. And, he thinks it's catching up on him. He thinks this is one of the reasons why his back's hurt. Because too much stress and stuff. So he's going to probably have to take a break soon.
Downshift a little bit.
It's a trip. We being asked to do this Monterey Jazz Festival, we CNN had a thing on it. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of acts, okay? Few days, and there's a lot of people playing, but of all the things, we've been featured in a lot.
Cool.
Banyan, and the guy putting it on keeps talking about us.
Bitchin'.
And stuff, and yeah, that's a trip. That's a trip. You know, it was good enough for us just to be asked, but then to be all featured and stuff.
Yeah, getting all the respect in a different genre.
Yeah. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, that's cool.
And we got the two older gentlemen with us, Herman Green and Calvin Newborn, you know, these guys, late 60s, early 70s, playing along with us. In San Francisco, Steve McKay from the Stooges is going to play sax with us.
Sweet.
Yeah, so it's going to be a different kind of banyan.
Norton's going to be painting.
Norton's going to be there. He's got a little tour coming up after. He's painting with different people. He's also painting solo. Does things where he just goes up.
Yeah, it's one thing in Japan or something. That was really neat. Man.
Morocco.
The stuff he comes up with. He's amazing.
He is. And he is the oldest lifeguard male. That's
cool.
Pretty intense, too. So he's in good shape. He's like mid-50s. Yeah, so.
Cool gig.
The whole thing's a... I didn't really realize it, you know, doing all the other touring, that this was waiting for me. Four gigs in a row. Days after
the wedding. Come home and relax.
Trippy thing is, don't have to pack much. So what was your least favorite thing about Burning Man? The cops, right?
Cops. And I didn't DJ. I was kind of pissed about that.
You didn't bring...
I didn't bring the whole rig, no.
That's right. You were telling me you were going to bring somebody... use someone else's.
Someone else was... handling that, and then it...
Ball was like dropped?
Bogarted, dropped, something. Something
blown out of the water.
Yeah, something funky.
So that's lame, because you do that every Burning Man.
Yeah, that's the first time I didn't, but there's Captain Jack, he was in the camp too, so he didn't get his spins on either, so we got plan B. Yeah, it's a real Bogart situation. It's like I don't understand it, but who knows we got our plan for next year.
Yeah, so, right. Have a Bravo.
Yeah.
Have a Bravo.
Exactly.
God, you count on that. And then,
yeah.
What can you do? You're there hostage.
There's at least plenty of other stuff to do, so you keep occupied, and there's never a dull moment.
So DJ List and Cops, those were the two negs. What was the big pause?
I was really stoked.
More art.
Michael Franti was just right
Spearhead.
Down the street from us. And so I
Street, you got to explain.
Yeah, there's like concentric circles, like rows of, I guess that's what concentric circles are. There's the rings of Saturn kind of going around the man, three quarters of the way. So those are all like streets.
And the camps are all located on the streets.
Yeah, so you got like an address for your camp. And so this year the theme was the psyche. You know, that's one of the philosophical differences that we were mentioning earlier.
Themes or no themes?
Yeah, the artists, some of the artists, they don't want to be restricted by a theme. They want to make whatever they're inspired to make and not be, like, jammed into this thing that...
Right.
Force. So all the streets were named after some kind of psychological trip, you know. So we were on the, like, 245 and Bipolar and... Catharsis. So that was our address. We had about 30 people in our camp, kind of circled the wagons, kind of a thing. But that's one of the strategies, too, the way you design your camp. Because the cops like to just cruise through looking for problems.
Right.
And then creating them. And so, like, this one where I think it was where Franti was camping, they just bumper-to-bumpered it with all the RVs, so you can't just go strolling through, and then there was, like, tarps and stuff pulled around. So it's kind of like a friendly fort.
Yep.
There's an opening where you got to pass through, but, you know, it's kind of a filter, I guess. But I got to catch him performing up there, so that was really neat. I saw Todd Rundgren one year. He goes all the time, I guess. Perry used to go.
Yeah.
I don't know if he still does or not, but that was always quite a camp people were looking for, I guess.
Perry's camp. Camp Perry.
I guess.
Stumble through that one.
But, yeah, it's there's nothing like it.
Yep, yep.
Another planet. I saw the space station fly by one night. It was new moon time, so it was
That's
very
how clear
dark.
The sky is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
Different than like sky. And you can see why an ancient man had such an intense thing with the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
And to us, it's not such a big deal because we can't see
most
it.
People don't even know it's up there.
Yeah.
But it was really weird and sad to be there. Because right when I got there is when Katrina hit. You know, that happened that night. And I didn't know for a couple of days, really. And you start hearing rumors as people come in, you know, that this has happened. And you kind of wonder, you know, what's going on without information. Or, you know, information age, you get misinformation, disinformation, real information. It's hard to tell what's
Spins.
Real. Yeah, it's hard to tell what's real deal. So that was really kind of heavy on, I think, back of a lot of people's minds. But
I was in England, and the news wasn't that big over there. There was this one newsstand that said, 55 dead pictures. And I was like, I don't want to look at that. 55 dead pictures. That's what it said. It said, hurricane, 55 dead pictures.
Wow.
Yeah, what a way to sell a paper. Maybe it didn't all go together, but it was just still corny. So I didn't look at it. It wasn't that big of a deal the way they made it. And I flew home, and it was like, whoo. And I've got friends there.
Yeah.
And it lost everything.
Yeah, there are people up at Burning Man Burners who didn't have a home to go
back
to.
Fuck.
Because they had all their camping gear with them. Screwed.
Yeah. Intense. But you guys had the good weather. Because I know some Burning Mans have had a heavy time.
Man, it gets all extreme. Sometimes all extremes in one day. It was never, I don't think it got over 100. If it did, it wasn't for very long or very much over. And it never really got freezing cold, like I didn't have to start wrapping myself in trash bags or nothing, because you don't have enough clothes.
What about dust?
Dust, the first few days were kind of dusty, and then at the end, when everyone leaves, it gets pretty dusty.
Yeah. What about mattresses flying and stuff? You told me about some of them there.
I saw some stuff on the side of the road, but I think nobody, I didn't hear about any killer wrecks because it's just a little road going in, and so people want to pass, and sometimes there's a cow or someone coming the other way, and there's some terrible wrecks. You see everybody's stuff, just like trailers full of stuff, just scattered.
Strewn.
And some people come in with like full diesel trucks, you know, big rigs.
Wow.
But it's like next to the Boy Scouts, it's the big, I forget who's in first place, Burning Man participants or the Boy Scouts as far as teaching and preaching, leave no trace. The leave no trace philosophy, if you're going to
leave it
trace,
as you found it.
Yeah, at worst, but like you found it. If you can make it better, cool. But don't mess it up.
Right.
So,
like strip mining.
Yeah, we wouldn't get to use it again because they go over, they pick a little quadrant, they just keep breaking it down when they clean up because if somebody drops a sunflower seed and doesn't get it, you know, that's going to be trash. And the BLM dudes, they go looking for problems, so some of them don't want to give us a permit.
Right, and they'll have ammunition.
So they are really impressed with us. They're very impressed. So, yeah, my buddy Dark Angel's in charge of the cleanup crew, so hats off to Dark Angel.
KP man, Dark Angel. Much respect.
Yeah.
How many days were you there?
I was there from Sunday to Sunday, so this year I missed the temple burn. But the man burned really cool. And the man was... They twisted the mind a little bit by twisting the man. Because in this big flat expanse, it's like the flattest place in North America. You just out partying. There's bands and parties and DJs happening in any direction. You know, there's so much stuff. You turn your head like a dog and you just kind of hear like all these different mixes and sounds coming. It's really neat. But I forget where I was going with that.
They twisted the man somehow.
Yeah, okay, great, thanks. The man, normally he's there, so he's like a fixed point.
He's
so
the Santa.
You kind of relate to where your camp is and where you're at by your location with the man.
Right.
And this year they had him like on some pivotal thing, so it was participation. People were up there. You had to go through this maze. It was a pretty elaborate maze. And you go up. It was a three-story platform that the man was on, so he's up there. He's like 50 feet tall, and he's turning, you know. So if you're watching, every few minutes he's like turning a different direction, so you couldn't depend on the man to lead you home.
He'd lead you astray. I meet some interesting new people.
Yeah, I met some really cool people. That's one of the neatest things, just... There's such neat, cool people up there. And seeing friends that you only see once a year, but they're like childhood friends almost, you know. So that was really cool. Like I was telling you, I met the dude does stereo photography. He sent me a picture he took of me one night down by Water Woman. My friend Ray brought up rocket stoves. He's all into permaculture. And Burning Man's kind of interested in that because... It kind of fits with the general philosophy of being self-sustaining,
yeah,
and not being a consumer.
Right.
And then as the regionals grow, so it's more than just a 1 week out of the year because people are, it becomes like they take it home with them, and then they start to spread. It's like an infection.
Germinates.
Yeah. And so the permaculture thing is really neat. So we had a rocket stove that he put in our camp, and it's like just a design. It looks pretty simple, but it's pretty amazing and efficient, I guess. And I got Tesla's show that I mentioned. I met that guy. That's the same guy that does stereo photography, which I guess you got to have 3D glasses or a special viewer or something to get the full effect. There's so many outrageous, awesome, incredible people out there.
Did you meet any dicks? Or is Pepe the only one?
Well, I guess that would be like a interpretation. The only real dicks were just the cop moves. You know, that was just really irritating because it just is so out of place. You know, it's like, we don't need stormtroopers. We don't need no stinking stormtroopers.
No. that they want to feel, they want to belong.
Yeah, that's their way of belonging, being important.
They want, like to watch.
So before they used to like to watch. You see them taking pictures and stuff. They were cool. They enjoyed. A lot of them still are cool and enjoy being sent there for that week because it is pretty neat, and they're not all dicks. But enough of them are to ruin their reputation. Like Bukowski said, I don't hate them, but I feel better when they're not around.
Yeah, here. It's a book. At the bumper shoot, I wore a San Pedro Skate Park shirt that Andy Harris gave me. But all the stuff was written on the back, so I don't think anybody... They had a little stuff on the front, but... It's like over here, over your heart, so the strap goes over it. So I don't think anybody could really. Did you get that shot? I think
yeah,
I pulled, somebody came on
there.
Stage. See my dad horn. See, he brought on 100 kids on No Fun.
Wow.
Real cool. In fact, he stopped us in a real cool time because there was some storm trooping with the security people. You didn't give anybody some authority.
Yeah. As a Stanford prison project. The absolute authority corrupts absolutely.
Yeah. So he had to say, look, you got it. And then he brings the kids up, and it was wild. No, nothing got hurt or anything. They just wanted to dance around. And so that's where that shot was.
Cool.
And but you can't really see the San Pedro's... Whoa. What? Gomez, I'm doing the radio show right now. I'm Brother Matt.
Hey, Gomez, what's
We're
happening?
At the Pleasure Point in the Love Grotto.
I'm sorry, I'm
sorry.
Yeah, I'm calling you, but can you put me on the guest for tonight? On the guest list?
You want to be on the guest list for the Banyan Show, Gomez?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it possible?
It is possible. I'll get there around 10, but let me get back to the show.
Later, Gomez.
Okay, adios. So we had our...
calling guests.
Right. Our on-the-scene reporter, Gomez, is going to...
That was cool when he was here a couple weeks ago.
That's right. Yeah. Playing some music from Spain and stuff.
Yeah, there's a trip hammer now. If the malls are there. That was a bummer to hear about.
Yeah. He's been here 17 years.
Yeah, I was going to put a link on the website to him, and I went to go do it, and I already had it. I was so offended.
All right. Gomez, good guy. Raymond's in New York City. He's got a big show there. He's got a couple there this month. I know one's at the Whitney. But right now the ponies are at the county fair, Fairplex,
right.
A couple weeks. And then they'll come to Hollywood. So we'll check that out. It's been in Del Mar.
Yeah,
too far.
Down there. Yeah,
but it's like 100 miles.
Yeah. With the surf
one way. Surf. Yeah, it is a neat thing. I think Bing Crosby built that one and some of his buddies. Yeah. So they come back around. Although I'd like to see, I've never been to the Fairplex County Fair ones. And they're every day.
Yeah, I used to go when I was living and working up in Oregon, I'd go. Because we would be having to work at the fair, being at the radio station. So we'd have our little booth and go check out the ponies. And
I know this, Raymond, tells me usually the big...
Big races are neat.
Yeah. Nobody riding them. Monkeys. But the big jocks usually don't do the county fair. That's when they take time off.
It's like minor leagues.
Yeah.
It's farm
like CBA. So... he comes back, we'll do that, and also we're going to have time, and we can get on our movies. Now, that's a not rapping at your chamber door. I think that's Dandy Don Dalton from Salt Lake City. So, in the moment, live here, Watt from Pedro Show, we're getting, we're capturing some Pedro experience here, listeners.
It's Marky.
Whoa, hey, bro.
Hey, what's up?
Watt from Pedro Show.
Yeah.
Park yourself at the Mikey Mike.
Uh-huh.
No, right there.
There is in that spot there. Yes. Marky's old school Pedro to the bone.
What's happening, fellas?
We're doing the show here. Brother Matt's giving us a roundup of the Burning Man.
Oh, yeah, right, right. How's that team flow, Rob?
Oh, you got to listen to the show. Yeah, I don't want to have to repeat it to everybody again, but it was cool. There's some pictures right there in that book.
There's the picture book.
Yeah.
So basically, it was
awesome.
All part of the course, a good time, huh?
Good thing. Yeah, I don't know anything better happened at that time, really. Although there's some good competition, but
you gotta have variety, you know. You gotta have a little something.
You gotta have variety. Here's something from Scotland. This is a band called Step Right Up, Art from Pedro Show.
I can taste the night before. I can sitting at a game, trying to find my game. She's locked up with someone else, trying to find my game.
and howl for inspire.
Stooges Live at Redden Festival, I think the 28th of August, a few weeks ago. Intense TBI. It was the hottest day I've ever had in England. Not a cloud in the sky. And the sun was right. We played at 5:05. And the sun was right on us like this huge spotlight. No shade. Just blazing.
Wow.
You know, like it was in Coachella, Indio. And which is way different. It's usually raining there in summer. In fact, people go to the gigs with boots, rubber boots up to their knees.
Probably pretty pasty looking, getting fried.
Yeah, their shirts were off. There was a lot of doughboy. And yeah, well, I think 120,000 people. It's a big ass gig. And it was pretty intense.
Wow. So it was just like a sea of people.
Yeah. There were some tents on the outside where there were smaller stages inside them. Mm-hmm. And there was the big daddy. And so you didn't really hear their sounds. It didn't bleed so much. Even with the noise restrictions.
Well,
because
it
Leeds, too, it's...
It was kind of Coachella-like in that sense, too.
Yeah.
With the,
yeah. Not so much like Warped Tour, where you can stand in one place and hear like 5-6 bands at the same time. There was a lot of bands, too. A lot of bands.
So did you get to check any out, or were you busy doing your own thing with the...
What did I see? I saw a band called Be Your Own Pet. They were pretty good. They were pretty good. Bass player, a big fro. Yeah, they were.
It's cool.
And I saw a girl. I got to talk with him a bunch. I hadn't seen him in a long time. Talked with his mom for a couple hours. She was a teacher. She said, yeah, I taught literature so much I never got to read. So now that I'm retired, I'm getting to read books.
Oh, cool.
So we talked about books a lot. And Dave lives in the valley now. Yeah. He's, yeah, he was in great shape. And the NoFX guys, Eric Melvin, got to talk with him and stuff. A band from Norway that's really good called Turbo Negro. Got to hang with them. Tom, the bass player. He dresses as a sailor. He usually has a big wrench in his back pocket, but they seized it at the airport.
Oh, man. Yeah, use my lighter.
You know what?
They look at you like you're trying to smuggle on a box cutter or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So he didn't get to play with his ranch.
Bunk.
And they shot out all these monies, and each of them were on a bill. I got the Euro Boy. The lead guitar guy's name is Euro Boy. He wears a SS hat. But he's the sweetest guy off stage. He dresses kind of, you know, the alligator shirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's
a kind of prep, a little prep. And I got to see Dinosaur.
Oh, cool.
In fact, they reunited with Lou and Murph, and they were great.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's great seeing Lou singing with Jay, playing great bass, big strums.
So Jay's back's all back to normal?
Yeah. He was in good spirits. The 2 days after this gig, we did all a Funhouse at the Apollo, and that was an intense gig. And the next day, they did, it's a series called Don't Look Back, put on by Barry Hogan of the All Tomorrow's Parties thing. And they did all of Euro Living All Over Me, so I got to see that. And then I came home. But they were happy to be playing with each other.
Cool.
Murph was great. Murph had like a version of the Henry Rollins look, just not really dolphin shorts, but... And maybe a different, slightly different physique. But he was
not
great.
300 pounds.
You know, svelte, supple, and willowy. Figure like a football. But he was great. All three of them were playing really good with each other. And so,
cool.
All around. Yeah, it was, Leeds gig was a little tough for us. Oh, look, we're at the end of the first hour. September 15th, 2005, edition of Watt from Pedro Show. Hang tight for hour two. September 15th, 2005, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. I spaced and didn't say the songs. That was before TVI, last hour. Before TVI and the Stooges was a band called AWOL 1 and a song called Flying Spiders. And we couldn't tell if it was a jacked up CD, or they were just mixing it that way. I mean, spiders were flying. Family. It was flying through speakers. And before that, we had a band from the 80s. I think that was recorded in 85. Song called Outside Inside by Magnolia Thunder Pussy. And we started off the set with the Summer Mars, Step Right Up, a band from Scotland. Summer Mars, like the Burning Man. Huh? And now we got something from Tunisia here.
It's global. Did you ever think, like, how many miles you traveled just this summer?
Well, I know in August, I did about 50,000.
Wow.
Yeah. 8 flights.
That's a hell of a month.
It's a fair piece to be traveling in the tube, breathing farts.
A few trips around the world.
But I was firing back. They were augering them into me, but I was firing it right back. Okay, Watt from Pedro Show.
Come on. Ah!
That was Parachute Woman with 7th Street Creep to the Crossroads. Before that, we had Cigarette Motel from Leaving Trains. They're doing a big gig tomorrow. Keats Rides a Harley is being reissued, and all the bands that are still around are going to be playing it. Keats is, it was a 12-inch EP in the old days. I think Tom Watson was in Toxic Shock, one of the bands, and he's in a part of the Missing Man playing with him. In fact, he came over the other day, brought me D-Boone's guitar, one of his guitars I let him use for a while because I'm putting the demos together for him, you know, for the next batch with Raul on drums.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, that was Leaving Trains, Cigarette Motel, and we started off with a song called Naseb by a guy named Rashid Taha, a cat from Tunisia. And now, my pleasure to bring aboard Brother Matt and his spin cycle.
Post
Burning Man.
Thank you all.
water boiling over. Your hope is. Thank you.
because I'm not going to do something in my life.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Arrow Book Club with Get Down Part 4. Before that, we had Laurie's Lament, Vidiots. Call the Vidiots. Great name. I remember those guys. Sensible Virgins by 100 Flowers before that. Those were all from the Keats Rides a Harley reissue. And of course, preceding that was Brother Matt Spin Cycle with some rock elements. Is that true, Brother Matt?
Rock elements.
What would you say about that?
I'd say we had some rock elements.
Had some rock elements? Rock action?
Yeah, a little Burning Man flashback. That was one of the highlights. You'd asked me earlier what was some of the highlights. And this dude, this DJ, David Starfire, that guy rocked, man. I hadn't seen a set like that in a while. I danced like a like some kind of drug crazed madman or something.
He got it going for you. You got your dance
he
on.
Was great, yeah. That dude.
Okay. We're done with hour two, September 15th, 2005. Watt Peter Show, Hang Tight for Hour 3. September 15th. 2005, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show, and here's part 12 of Dreams of Rio.
Frida, who was dead for almost a day and a half, has suddenly come back to life. Only it doesn't seem to be the same Frida.
Jack, Charles. I'm feeling better now.
Oh, she looks better. Yeah, of course, she's not dead anymore.
Jack believes Frida is possessed by some strange entity she encountered while wearing the gold mask she found in the Lost City. He has contacted his old friend Mojo to meet them in Rio de Janeiro.
Well, I've been reading up on zombies.
Zombies? Zombies?
And so they've returned to Rio, landing right in the middle of Carnival. And now, week 12 of Dreams of Rio.
Carla.
I missed you, Klaus.
I missed you too, Carla.
Klaus?
Carla?
What is this? Ah, a mask. You brought me my gold mask.
No, don't touch that.
You promised me.
There's something about that mask that
Hello,
I...
Hello, Klaus.
Take that off.
I want it.
Give that to me.
Klaus, let me wear it. For the fantasia.
I'm sorry, Carla. I really am.
Oh, Klaus, please.
Carla?
Klaus?
No.
Hey, what's the stuff you bought?
Herbs?
No. Dried bat wings.
Bat wings?
I'm fixing up a little something for Frida.
Oh, Joe, there's something I have to tell you about. I have the snake woman at my disposal. When I was in the Lost City, I found the altar where the crystal skull originally sat. I inserted the eyes, and then this entity appeared. Half snake, half woman. Exactly the same as in those dreams I've been having.
And you asked her to help you?
Well, yes. Frida was dead for almost 2 days. I needed help. Well, Frida did come back. Only it's the wrong Frida.
Oh, man. Didn't I tell you not to fool with that stuff?
Did you?
I didn't. Anyway, listen to me now. Don't use that snake woman again. She's tempting. Something goes wrong, just conjure up the old snake maker.
Well, she does come in handy.
Listen, every time you use her, she's going to get stronger. You have problems, she'll do you fitting.
Well, sounds good to me, Mojo.
Yeah, ha ha ha. You stepped in some dark, sticky stuff here, man.
No kidding. Frida, I'd like you to meet an old friend of mine. Mojo Sam.
Frida, how are you doing?
So you are here to depossess me?
Depossess or repossess?
It won't work, because there's nothing to repossess.
Frida, look, all we're doing is trying to make you well again.
Frida is dead, you know that. So if you want her back, you know what you get. A funeral.
Just be cool now, all
Hello. How are we doing?
It's your choice. Do you want me or a corpse?
Uh-huh. That's how we're doing.
Mojo, do you think she's right?
Should we leave her this way?
Are you kidding? She's dangerous.
But she's got a point. I mean, if the cure kills her...
Frida, everything is going to be all right.
Klaus. Carla. Klaus. Carla. You fool.
Frida.
Carla, your sweet Carla is being paid by Paolo to be your lover.
That's not true.
Klaus, you mean you and Carla?
I hate to interrupt, but I need that gold mask.
You want my mask? Carla wants my mask. Well, Carla has it now.
Frida, you're talking crazy.
Well, go look for yourself. It's gone. She took it.
I don't believe this.
Well, go to your apartment. See for yourself.
I'm going to do just that.
Oh, God, this is a nightmare.
Come on, Frida. Calm down.
Beruhige dich, beruhige dich, als ob das was helfen könnte.
Yeah.
So, Mojo is repossessing Frida.
Yeah. He's in there with his voodoo rattles and bat wings.
So, you fell in love with Frida?
Well, briefly, yes.
He... no more amor?
No more. I can't even remember what she was like before. And now... Oh, she's unbearable.
Yes, she is.
Carmen. I want to thank you for everything you've done.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Well, like risking your life to get that skull back, for one. You've been a real friend.
Sí, una buena amiga.
My buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Carmen, I don't know.
You don't know what?
You're attractive. You have a sense of humor. You're someone I can trust.
Oh, yes. I'm very trustworthy. Like a nice dog.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. You two are cozy, aren't you?
Where's Mojo?
I'm in here. She's not going anywhere.
A nice item you two make, don't you?
Frida.
So you trust her?
Frida, listen.
Good, faithful Carmen, always there to help poor Jack.
What do you see in this woman?
Well, she hasn't exactly been herself lately.
Did you know Carmen was paid money back in the Grand American Mall to set you up?
What?
And the
Carmen.
Money came from Paolo Pompadora.
I didn't know that.
Coca-Cola! Coca-Cola!
Jack!
Coca-Cola!
I didn't know they
Coca-Cola.
Were going to do this.
Oh, my God.
She saw you buy the stone eyes. She followed you to Brazil. Coca-Cola! Coca-Cola!
Oh, my God.
But light.
What?
Look at her.
Oh.
Look what she's doing.
Mojo. Oh, Mojo.
What's up?
Well, you should have.
Frida, rising in the air.
Mojo, can you do something about this?
Hey, come on down.
Mojo, she's floating away.
I've got her foot. I'll just tow her back into the other room. Come along, Frida.
Now, what?
I never said Bud Light.
Bud Light. So?
So, what she says is only partially true. I didn't know they were going
to... Yeah, sure.
What? I get you that awful skull, I risk my life, and you just say, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Mira, when I first saw you, you were burnt out, bitten down, kicked around, and now look, you are alive. What if I left you in the mall, Jack? Think of all the millions of people that are stuck in that mall. That mall is made so you cannot find the exit. Some people will never find their way out. You come to Brazil, yes. You risk your life, yes. But you found a magical place. The magic of life has touched you again. Jack?
What?
Tell me one thing.
Shoot.
Why are you such an idiot?
I don't know. I get bored easily.
Well, so do I.
Oh, God, give me a break.
What?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Carmen.
What?
Nothing.
I say what? He says nothing. I say nothing. He says what?
Carmen.
What?
You want him? I give him to you.
I don't want him.
Well, that's good. Because there's someone else. She has him now.
Who?
It's just some snake goddess that came out of the skull. It's nothing, really.
Nothing, really. Good.
Thanks, Frida.
What?
Nothing.
Gotta run down to the local voodoo shop. Pick up a couple more things. Keep it on Frida for me, okay?
Sure. No problem.
Be right back.
Jack, I want you.
You do?
Yes. I want to touch you again.
Your hands are cold.
Then I won't touch you. Oh, I'm so tired. Aren't you tired?
Yeah. Now that you mention it.
Yes. You work so hard.
The last 15 square feet of jungle we have. One toucan, ruck, ruck. One tutu bear, tutu, tutu, tutu. Two piranhas, see? One, two, ouch. Three frogs, quack, quack, quack. One tarantula.
Where is he? Sorry about that.
One jaguar.
Nice pussycat.
One snake. One indigenous person. Me Indian. One alligator. 1,000 mosquitoes. And one bulldozer!
No, don't. No, stop. Stop.
Wake up.
What?
Wake up.
Huh? Senor Bulldozer.
It's me, Senor Mojo.
Mojo. God, another dream.
She put you to sleep.
Who? Frida. Frida.
She's gone.
Oh, no. Shoot.
Get your hat. Let's go.
These streets are so jammed, Mojo. We're never going to find her.
We'd better. She's sucking up this energy and getting stronger by the hour.
Yeah, I know. Why do I keep hearing that phone ring?
The phone booth over here.
Oh.
Probably for you.
Yeah, sure. Hello? Carnival Central.
Jack Manders?
Mayor Josepha.
My Josepha. Let me talk to Mojo Sam.
Mojo, it's for you.
Who knows I'm out here? Hello?
I am my Josepha. We can help you, my son.
Well, we can use the help.
There is a price, my son.
What's that?
You want the gold mask.
Carla's taken the mask.
It's very bad.
I figured as much.
We have to free Frida. We must find the mask.
I figured that too.
Wait, figuring and find it.
Ooh, she's something.
Yeah, tell me about it. Mojo, how are we going to find Frida in this madness?
I'll take the right, you take the left.
That's a good idea.
We'll meet back here in an hour.
All right. Is he gone? Yeah. Now, I'll just slip into this phone booth and slide the eyes into the crystal skull. Ah, the snake woman slithers into view. There's not much room in here for both of us, but I want you to find Frida. Huh? Hello?
What are you doing in that phone booth?
Oh, nothing.
Listen, man. I've told you not to fool with that snake woman.
Mojo, we're never going to find Frida in this mess. There's a million people out in the streets.
Put that thing back in the skull. You hear me?
I hear you.
You better do it.
What are you going to do? Put a hex on me?
No. I'd never do that. Do what you want.
All my plans foiled. Where did that snake woman come from? Where is Carla? Where is that gold mask? Where is Carmen? Where is the crystal skull? Where is the lost city? Where is Shortstop Detroit? Where is my lighter? Ah, regardless. And who are you?
I am Frida.
Frida?
Frida Adler.
Adler? I like that name.
You are looking for the gold mask.
Yes, I am.
The mask will only give you trouble.
Trouble is my middle name. And maybe you can help me find the lost city.
Now that is going to cost you.
Maybe I can afford it, huh?
Oh, I'm certain you can.
The big find. Discovery of a lifetime. My name in history. My lost world found at last. And it's a disaster. Frida dies, Jack hallucinates, Frida comes back to life, Jack...
Hi, Klaus.
Oh, my friend Flanders. Have a caipirinha.
Those things are lethal.
I know.
I expected to see you in some carnival costume.
How? But... dressed as the Kaiser?
Sure, why not?
It's too hot to be the Kaiser.
Well, you'd look good wearing a spiked helmet and a little propeller on the top.
Hey, now that I might like.
Oh, Klaus, you're getting drunk in the sun.
Check. Jack, my friend, I have been betrayed by the woman I love.
Ah, yes.
Maybe I should get Eve. Maybe I should borrow your snake goddess, huh? Everyone's hallucinating by me. What's wrong with me? You people live in illusions and you're happy? I'm cursed with seeing things as they are, and I'm depressed.
That's life, Klaus.
Oh, Jack. Oh, love. The ecstasy of love. The ecstasy de liebe. Oh, and then comes the pain. Oh, the pain, the suffering, the ache of the heart that's Leiden, der Schmerz. Ah. I love Carla. I was deceived. Oh, ich bin von Kampisus auf Leiden eingestellt. Und das ist meine Welt und das gar nicht.
You can say that again.
Ich bin von
No, that's okay. It's okay, Klaus. Huh. Look, Klaus, we are trying to find Frida. It's very important. She is loose out there somewhere. We've got to have the mask that Carla stole.
Oh.
Well, look, I'm going to go looking for them. If you see either one of them... forget it. You can't even see straight.
Bien, Sidney.
Yeah. Como siempre.
You want to talk about it?
No.
Fine with me.
I've wasted too much of my life talking about them.
Some women never stop talking about men.
I don't know when we started talking about them. High school?
And the gymnasium. Mm-hmm. I remember. We used to talk about their hands.
Hands? Oh, you mean large hands. Where
that's what we believe.
No, when I was in school, it was feet. Big feet.
Big feet? Oh, pé grande. Ah, agora eu entendo.
Pies, manos, que mais dá?
You know, I have a friend. She loves fat men.
Fat men?
Fat men. Yeah,
but really fat?
Quanto mais gordo, melhor.
Gordos?
Gordo.
I know.
Yeah, she loves to be engulfed in flesh.
Oh, my, como hacer el amor con una ballena.
Com certeza, seria como dormir com uma baleia.
Ai, que estranho.
She says she feels protected.
Protected? Assim como volver al vientre paterno.
Talvez ela goste de abraçar filé mignon.
Brazil. Oh, I love you, Brazil. I drink to your quinta. Oh, you are a great country. You have great people. And have you ever met a Brazilian without a sense of humor?
Never.
Oh, my friend Frida.
I'm not Frida, and I'm not your friend.
No, Frida. What is it you want?
I want to stay in this body.
That seems reasonable.
I thought so, too.
Where's the real Frida?
You want to see her?
Yes, I want to see her.
Do you see what I have?
Oh, the gold mask.
Yes. Put it on. I'll show you, Frida.
Oh. It's cool.
Open your eyes. What do you see?
Oh, yes. There it is. Oh, yes.
Does any woman understand how a man thinks?
Você tá brincando.
Ai.
I like a man to be a little vulnerable.
Yeah, but not too vulnerable.
No, just a touch.
But with a sense of humor.
Absolutely.
A man without a sense of humor.
That man.
Oh, it's Shortstop Detroit. Say, Senor Shortstop.
Hey, Carmen. Bon dia, my little senorita.
Como vai, Senor Shortstop?
Hey, I remember you. I remember you from Paraty, right?
Paraty.
Chi.
So, are you enjoying Carnival?
Am I enjoying Carnival? Come on. Hey, but seriously, girl. Hey, look at this. Look at this tan. It's nice, huh?
Mais ou menos.
Mais ou menos.
I thought you girls liked fat guys. Now, hey, Claudia. You want to see my Uzi?
Com este pé, de jeito nenhum.
Oh. Well, okay.
Well, any luck?
No.
Fabio. Hello?
Paolo Pompadour is dead.
How do you know?
We know.
Was it Frida?
Of course. Who else?
Paolo's dead.
Frida?
Of course. Who else? Oh, my God. We better get back to Klaus. He could be next.
What else do women talk about when they talk about men?
Elas conversam sobre o tamanho dos sapatos deles.
What did she say? What did she say? Huh? Shoes. She's talking about shoes. Size of men's shoes?
Yeah. Claro.
Yeah, really? Yeah. You mean that a big shoe is a big...
É grande, sapato grande.
Grande, huh? No, I didn't...
Claro, grande.
Really?
O seu pé é pequeno.
What? A pequeno feet? You think I have pequeno feet?
You do have small feet.
I have small pequenos? Wait a minute. Come on. Yeah, it's a little joke, right? You guys are joking on me.
malandro.
All right, now come on. Seriously. What do women like most in a man?
O que ele está falando, hein?
Que eles gostam das mulheres e dos homens.
Ah, a sense of humor.
Sense of humor?
Well,
what?
A sense of humor. What else?
Yeah, right. Sense of humor. Very funny.
There he is. He's slumped over.
Klaus. Hey, come on, wake up. Mojo, tell me he's dead drunk.
No, he's just dead.
Oh, God.
Wait a minute. Everyone who knows about that lost city is being picked off one by one. What lost city?
Oh, very funny.
You know who's probably next?
Carmen?
You.
Me.
Mm-hmm. Scott from Pedro's show. That's Crash Course with a song called Green Kittens. Before that, we had part 12 of Dreams Are Real. Only one more part left. So we'll be finishing this one off, Jack's Adventure, but we'll have some more for you. Maybe Moon Over Morocco. That one's like 12 hours, 11 hours.
Wow. That'll be a few shows.
That'll be a few shows. All the way from Salt Lake City, we got Danny Darn Dalton.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome. Come visit the home turf.
So happy to be here in the Love Grotto. Yeah,
cool. Good to have you back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You on the mic?
Am I on the mic?
Yeah.
Check it out. Okay, a little closer.
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
We don't want your voice all tiny.
Nope. Living large here.
Yeah.
Good to be home.
How is it back in Salt Lake City?
Yeah. I don't know. Fall's starting to descend. A little nippy.
I'm not going to be around until spring.
Yeah, I was wondering about
fall tour.
Watt's always there in September. I missed that. End of September.
But not this time. Yeah, because I do clockwise in fall. So I want to get out of their parts before Father Winter.
Before winter descends. And then, of course, you do the Banyan gigs in the dead-ass middle of winter.
Well, that's a Willy thing. Playing ski resorts. I guess you got to go at that time, huh?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I was in your town once during the Olympics. It was 22 degrees outside. We were playing an ice rink.
Yep.
Outside ice rink.
The Bud World Party at the Galvin Center.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Budweiser. It was worse for the kids. They were standing on ice.
Oh, man. I don't even think it was 22. I think you're flattering yourself, man. It was in the teens.
Well, I was told it was 22, but that's still 10 degrees below freezing.
It was insane, yeah.
And we played that other pad, too, that you got going.
Yeah, the Winterfest, the big dome.
No, the little club. Was it a mill house or a pump house?
Oh, yeah.
Is that still happening?
It's something else now, everything else.
Is Ego still going?
Yep.
That's where I played last time, a club called Ego's.
Ego's is doing well. That's
right downtown.
Yeah, State Street. It's probably the best one.
I like Charlie booking it.
Yep.
Is there anything with that polygamy stuff?
It's kind of been quiet lately. I mean, we were corresponding about the latest, the state governments of Utah and Arizona trying to crack down on this one guy who's been pretty much fomenting rebellion down there in what they call the Arizona Strip. I mean, it's, the thing that's hard to understand if you're not from that part of the country is how, two minds you have to be about the thing. I mean, Mormons practice polygamy. They left the United States to go to Utah. Utah was part of Mexico when they first entered there. And then the government, the country followed after them. So they went there to practice polygamy because, they were getting rooted out of everywhere else they'd been. And, the loyal Mormons are the ones, according to these folks that still practice it, are the ones that practice polygamy. And so, the ones that are trying to root it out now are the modern-day ones. And it's a strange situation. I mean, because a lot of us, me included, wouldn't be here except for practice polygamy, way back when. But
well, aren't some of the people kids and stuff from these situations, that have run away?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what brings it out. I mean, the states, they don't want to do another Ruby Ridge.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work too well to have the federal government or state government breaking in and killing kids. It's not a good situation. So about the only way the state ever sees this is when some teenage kid wants to pierce her ears and she runs away, which is what's happened here lately. And, I say, it's a difficult position for them to be in because it's fundamental to the Mormon religion. And so to have modern-day Mormons trying to stamp it out just isn't too seemly. But, at a certain point, where they're thumbing their nose at it, they're stealing welfare proceeds and not paying taxes, things like that, the state tries to strong arm back, I think for good reason, too. I mean, it's kind of interesting, because we've talked to some of the women that have left this and heard their stories about
child it. Child bride.
It doesn't seem to be about sex. I mean, in fact, the women tend to band together against the man. He doesn't hold a lot of sway in his own household. I'm not sure what it's about. to be honest.
What? Isn't it usually different houses?
Sure. You got all kinds in the even in the Salt Lake Valley. There's thousands of polygamists, and a lot of them live secretly. A lot of them live like normal people, but you know, like a single woman is married to some guy who lives in another place, and yeah. They get together every so often. It's very rare to have the big communal living in the Salt Lake Valley, but it even exists up there. It's kind of strange. But yeah. They figure there's 15,000 polygamists living in Salt Lake City.
In the town?
In the whole valley.
Okay.
You know, so. Not counting all the outlying areas. So. But there's been a lot of publicity about it lately because this one woman had all her children taken away from her. She's getting them back now bit by bit because she had like 11 kids and she's 36, something like that. Wasn't taking care of them, but that's the one where the two teenage girls said they'd had it.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to go to the mall. They want to get their ears pierced. And, you know, Daddy-O says no way. And they go complaining about child abuse and... You know, it's been a big deal. Bomb threats, you know,
yeah,
demonstrators, all kinds of stuff. But
there was a bomb thing about manuscripts.
Oh.
Remember that?
The Mormon murders. When I first moved to Salt Lake, it was 84, and people were getting blown up and killed. It was the strangest damn thing. But the story's really a trip. It was a guy who was forging old historical Mormon documents and selling them to the church for tens of thousands of dollars, and he was good at it too. I mean, this guy would go back east and he'd buy the sheet leaves from old books, and then, you know, he had a way of curing the ink so it looked old, and he was ripping off the Mormon church. But he started getting kind of ahead of himself, and he was writing bullshit, not even trying to be authentic. So he's got Joseph Smith, instead of seeing an angel, he's seen a lizard, a white salamander, and they're buying it. I mean, they think shit is for real, and so, you know, their own people who authenticate documents are buying these documents and hiding them away.
Yeah.
Well, he starts to go for the big score, because there's one guy who left the church in 1835 who supposedly had all the keys of the kingdom, and if they could ever find his papers, he'd bring it down. So he starts telling the church that he's got the so-called McClellan papers, and they're going to pay him $180,000 for this if he can deliver. Well, he can't forge fast enough, you know, and so they're constantly after him, and they're starting to think maybe he's up to no good. So what does he do? He goes on a killing spree. He starts bumping off one guy after another. First guy he bumped off was a Mormon bishop who was his contact, and he hit him with a nail bomb, shredded his skin right off of his face. The next one was a decoy. He ends up planting a bomb at somebody else's house who had nothing to do with it, killed the wife when she went out for the mail. And the third one, I mean, swear to God, I actually witnessed the after effect of this. My office was right on Main Street, and I'm talking on the telephone, and I can hear this percussion. And I look up the street, and I see a guy falling backwards with no hands. What he was doing was placing a bomb at a lawyer's office and then thought differently. He was trying to put it back in his car when it blew him backwards into the street. He gives up this deathbed confession. A nurse overhears it, and the prosecution wants to get it in, but, you know, it was just a real trip. And the guy's sitting in prison right now.
Yeah.
Pled guilty to 2 second-degree murders. But, well, you know, it's an odd place. I mean, you can't deny that. I think
we had some guys blow themselves up here by Daniels Field or something. Remember their Croatian kind of thing?
Yeah. Or nationalist sort of thing?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like Buddhist monks in Vietnam immolating themselves?
No, they didn't do it on purpose. I think they want to extort Ante for Perkoff for money.
Like,
you're not giving in on this thing.
Right.
But then, whoops. We didn't mix it up right or something. It's terrible. So, I mean, I don't think Salt Lake has monopoly on kooks.
No, but...
I think that's fairly evenly distributed.
Well, it seems like we get the short end of all the news. I mean, it is kind of a strange place, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, but I play there every tour. I like it.
Sure. I mean, what surprises people, and I tell them this, Salt Lake's got more in common with San Francisco than it does with a city an hour to the south.
I mean, yeah, but people's
preconceptions.
Predisposed minds about it, and they ain't spent a lot of time. I hear the most hilarious things.
Yeah.
People.
Well, what's cool about it is, I mean, we have a congressional district there with a Democratic congressman in the state of Utah, which is, you know, votes for Bush hand over fist. And the Republican National Party targets that district every time, and they can't get rid of him. And even Republicans are now starting to vote for him. I tend to see it as kind of ground zero for a political shift in the country. And I hope
Salt Lake City.
Well, Utah.
Or Utah period.
I think, you know, people, I'm hoping at least that people have had it. It's kind of weird swimming in.
Well, I know a lot of money came in with the Park City and all this.
Yeah.
And the Sundance. Yeah, you would not believe How that's changed since when I first started to tour.
Unbelievable. You got, what, $12 million condos belonging to guys like Jeff Katzenberg. I mean, I know his is the one that hosted Clinton when he was president. He, you know, when he was trying to get away from Hillary, I guess, he'd come out there and hang. But, yeah, it's almost unrecognizable, I think. I mean, it's certainly nothing that I can relate to. But Park City's still got kind of a charm to it, I think. You know, it's an old mining town that they've restored and kept, you know, pretty much.
But then the track home all around it, it's pretty intense.
You know, what are you going to do? It's progress.
No, I know.
It's progress.
Look, I saw him in Europe. Big time.
Tract houses in
Europe. Saw him in France big time. In fact, we had Gomez on the show, and I saw him too. Malls.
Oh, man.
Malls. Big time.
Well, you know, so what people seem to want.
Homogenized kind of.
Sure. Why do they have McDonald's in France? You know, why do they eat it? Why do they drink Budweiser in England? I mean, I don't think.
Yeah, so it's just a thing, everybody moving together and...
In the herd.
In lockstep kind of thing.
And not giving them the full range of choices.
Yeah, that's the thing. What Gomez was saying was his Spaniard young people.
Right.
They're watching the TV with all the images. So, they, you know what I mean? It gets in their mind. This is the way it's got to go.
Huh.
Of course, me, I'm thinking this is just going to breed a counter reaction.
Well,
down the road,
it's bound to.
Yeah, you know, so it's ridiculous.
It's like Jell-O; you can't press on one side without the other coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
so.
It seems to be human nature. It really does. I mean,
your yin and yang.
Get your yin stuck up your yang. That's for sure. Last time you were here, you were with your brother.
Yeah.
Not too long ago.
Yeah, my brother was. He was in your class.
Yeah.
Hebrew High School.
And it surprised me because he knew a lot about the old days.
He was the one. You know, I did my
He knew all them bands and stuff.
Well, he's the one that he kept me leashed to all that stuff because I was doing the, you know, the sort of square John lawyer trip, and you know, he'd feed me. He had some, you know, I keep forgetting, he had some connection with Rodney Bingenheim. I don't know what it was. I think he like did a show after him sometimes on Carol Q, but he knew him pretty well. And so, you know, he was always plugged into the, you know, the coolest stuff for me at least, because I couldn't go to shows. And but, you know, he was definitely the one who kept me advised.
And Pedro definitely didn't have the culture for it, so he had to be self-motivated that way.
Very much so. You're right, too. I mean, he loved that stuff. He bought that Sub Pop 100, the very first one. You know, he still got them all, but... you know, I was out of the country for a couple of years, and he'd send me, I remember at first it was UFO, it was, you know, oh hell, what else? It was Last Zeppelin album.
But the English
band. And all of a sudden it's Gang of Four, and it's God Save the Queen, She Ain't a Human Being, and I knew something had changed up here, because I was not here when that stuff hit. So.
Well, like this next song, he was a pogo child.
Hey, I'm gonna take my shoes off. Hey, y'all, try to show me your shirt for Bob. Oh, and he's gonna go with his. He's a pogo child, Daddy. Thank you.
Pedro Show. That was Screen with Search for Employment. Dave Grohl played drums in that band a long time ago. DC band. Before that, we had Bird's Mother, Eric Dolphy. And started with Pogo Child, something live from Vom, Richard Meltzer's band. He's up in Portland now. Good guy, hero of mine. Brother Matt, discussing with Mr. Dalton his teaching thing.
Yeah, my welcome back, Cotter, period.
And how the, the welcome back, Cotter. He started teaching at Pedro High after not too long graduating from there.
It had been like 15 years or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did radio.
Huh.
So,
In fact, he had a show at KXLU, The Blue Shift.
Oh, no kidding.
And then he went on to KMPT, you know.
Yeah. Mighty Mad.
Mersh. Shit.
Yeah, and it was so lame. You know, after working at KXLU, everything else was pretty lame. KMET, when it was cool, was fun. You know, people would be burning in the halls and making margaritas and be twisted by 10 and off work. And it was like, wow, this is your job. Go to concerts.
It was KNAC still around?
No.
That's gone. I tried
internet thing.
They used to do surf reports for them.
It's got an internet thing. They tried a heavy metal thing. And
yeah, they kept rocking rhythm.
And then it went under. I think they're on the internet now. But I remember them in the 70s.
They used to broadcast live from the Long Beach Arena.
Yeah, they were big proponents of the Blue Oyster Cult.
Yep.
They play bootlegs.
Yep.
They had an old cool studio in the Farmer Merchant building down in Long Beach.
I was just in Long Beach because I paddled a day. So I went out to one of them fake islands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to go party right off the...
What? Off the little oil island?
Yeah. They got names. They actually have names.
Like Sahara Mist or something?
Yeah, some bullshit made up
for corporate oil mogul.
Like these towns that get named after the housing tract.
Yeah,
well, that's what South Shores was.
Every street's
that's the name of the housing development. It wasn't like named town.
South Shore.
Or this one up on Western Strathmore.
Yeah,
right. The town. Some guy invented a realty office. We'll call it Strathmore. You know, the new plan turned that Navy housing into 2,300 condos.
Oh, man. That's
like there
crazy.
Ain't enough shit on Western Avenue.
That's crazy.
2,300 condos.
Like Playa Vista, man. That place
but Janice nice Hahn's against it, so maybe the guy won't get in.
That's the good thing about having her live here.
Yeah.
That's right. Hahn's were good for Pedro, that's for sure.
That was one good thing about the mayor, because he lived here.
Yeah.
Not like Reardon, he puts in a bike pass that parallels Crescent. You know, what that was that about?
The road to Blockfield.
Yeah. There's plans for that. You know about this... bridge to the breakwater.
Yeah.
Huh. Of course, it's all started where the cruise ships are. The promenade. Hopefully it doesn't get like Santa Monica or Hermosa Beach promenade.
Yeah, it's a trip. They brought back the red car for like an element, which, you know, now we need transportation. The red car was so about, happening.
It goes 2 miles.
We got like a...
It goes from the cruise ship thing, you know.
But back in the day, man, that was a system.
For a dime, you could go to Santa Monica.
Yeah.
They
tore it out.
Oh, I'd like to get into it, but we're at the end of our gig here, huh?
It's
September 15th, 2005, SWAT from Pedro show.
Welcome, you guys.
Yeah, much respect for coming aboard. Brother Matt, always for the essential aid and abetting. And everybody, keep your powder dry.